Operations and Oversight Committee for Monday, January 12th. The clerk will note the roll, and we have before us the minutes from January 9th hearing. Will members take a moment and look that over, and if there are any corrections, if you will let me know. Any corrections? Seeing none, Senator Lurie moves that the minutes of January 9th be approved as presented. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails, and the minutes are approved. Today we are having a presentation and a review of the Drive to Excellence, which is Governor's initiative from some time ago that has had a lot of development over the last months, and we had thought we would be able to do this actually at the end of the last session and didn't get there, but we're really pleased to have the Commissioner of the Department of Administration and her colleagues with us this afternoon to give us an update. Commissioner Badgero, if you would identify yourself, please, for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I'm Dana Badgero, the Commissioner of Administration. I'm here actually this afternoon in my capacity as Chair of the Governor's Subcabinet on Drive to Excellence. We are, as the Chair noted, 4 years into the effort of Drive to Excellence. It was kicked off in April of 2005 by 6 executive orders signed by the Governor. I want to not spend a lot of time on the history, but just to calibrate, I'll spend a few minutes. This presentation today will be slightly different in that we have some of our customers, some of the users and beneficiaries of the Drive to Excellence in a couple of the areas will be here to give us just very brief reflections on what the drive has meant to their agency. So for once, you're not really just hearing a proud mother talk about Drive to Excellence. You'll actually hear some people who have benefited from it. Let me just start by saying, you have the handout. This is obviously a reform whose time has long come. It is also the kind of reform that is slow to develop, and it's slow to develop in many reasons, for many reasons, one of which is that unlike most other states, we did not employ millions and millions of dollars worth of consulting help to assist us. The state of Illinois, for example, spent $82 million to achieve somewhat close to these same results, and other states have spent slightly smaller but large amounts of money to do this. They did it a lot faster, but I think we did it with much more enduring results, and I hope to prove that here this morning. Obviously, the factors that are compelling us to look at Drive to Excellence are the fact that we are now in an electronic age. Service delivery with an Amazon.com environment is much more likely to be delivered electronically. Nobody has enough money to do what they need to do. Frontline service delivery is suffering because of budget reductions. And demographics. Over one half of the state's workforce is eligible to retire by 2015. And just speaking from our own department, we are seeing key people now leave for retirement. We thought maybe with the economy that people might be staying on a little bit longer, and maybe that is kind of our hope. But we are losing a lot of valuable knowledge as people retire. So we have to redesign our processes to be done with fewer people. Because we know we will not be able to replace those retirees one for one, and nor should we. If we can redesign our processes. Well, we have some challenges in that I always sometimes refer to this as one of the best-kept secrets in state government, the Drive to Excellence, because we're not dealing with frontline services. We're not dealing with getting your driver's license or human service delivery or nursing home care. We're really dealing with back-office functions, the kind of support functions that actually make all the rest of those services work. And they're not very sexy. You know, it doesn't make for a really front-page news story to see that you've refined and redesigned your grant-making process. There is kind of, therefore, a lack of constituency or advocates for this. No one is really coming to the Capitol and rallying and saying, gosh, we really think you need to manage your fleet better. And then the public expectations. The public expects strong back office anyhow. They expect that we've already been extremely efficient, or we should be efficient, so why are we making a big deal out of getting more efficient in our back office or support services? This is a project about infrastructure. And you all know about infrastructure in the terms of roads and bridges and construction. But actually here what we're talking about is the infrastructure that is really the transactional nature of the work that we do, a process, the day-to-day kinds of moving of paper or information or money back and forth among our citizens. It's also the management of our assets and our business processes. and all the human and technological systems, the 30,000 employees that are making state government work, and all of the myriads, the thousands of IT systems that support that work. So what did we do 4 years ago, or a little plus 4 years ago? We did kind of backed off and did a hard look at how we operate our business. We did at that point hire a consultant to do some initial front-end work, and we looked, here's the basic philosophy of Drive to Excellence. Rather than 24 or 25 disconnected silos, each of whom are managing their own business processes, we ought to be looking at the state as an enterprise. Our customers do, the citizens do. They don't think of us in terms of discrete silos with turf and separate functions and processes. They really look at us as the state of Minnesota, so we ought to start acting like the state. And that's the whole notion that drives the Drive to Excellence. Obviously, we have to continue to increase our quality. We ought to be on a mission of continuous improvement. We have to reduce costs, and we have to improve customer satisfaction. So DRIVE is also about building a culture of continuous improvement. So the mission, as the governor stated it 4 years ago when he issued the six executive orders, was to enable the effective, efficient, and economical delivery of state government services. I kind of refer to this as a blah, blah, blah statement. It's one of those statements that, gosh, it sounds good, but what does it really mean? And what I want to talk about this afternoon is what it really means in 15 separate areas of state government where we've been working for the better part of 4 years. We started out generating ideas. We started with 400 ideas. We got them from citizens. We got them from state employees, consulting work that had been done before. And we sifted those 400 ideas and sifted and sifted until we came down to 24 areas for focus. And knowing that we couldn't do 24 at first, we started with six. So we started out 4 years ago with six original Drive to Excellence projects, one of which was the creation of the Office of Enterprise Technology, a major reform that I think has had terrific results, as you've probably seen. I mentioned we didn't use consultants. We have had 1,100 participants from state government and from some private sector and nonprofit sector involved in making these projects work. I have just a handful of the 1,100 here today that will testify to about what they did. We actually received some legislative appropriations, and I'll mention that where I go. And we did just do our fourth annual report to the governor, where we have reported a cumulative $210 million in savings through the Drive to Excellence efforts, almost all of which is from our strategic sourcing or purchasing activity. So let me start with that, and I'm going to call Brenda Willard from our Department of Materials Management Division, as well as Steve Gerton from the Department of Transportation, just at the table. Brenda is here because she leads the project, and she will be here to answer questions, and then Steve will give you just a 3 or 4 minute excerpt of what this project really means to him. But here's what we're doing in the Strategic Sourcing Initiative. We are looking again, not only is the state in an enterprise, buying similar or commodities for which we have standards. And if we can agree on a standard for a particular product, like a desktop computer, and we can then leverage that single product, vendors only need to stock one item for the state. We don't have every agency buying every single variety of computers. When I came to state government, I think I've mentioned this before, I was offered 48 cell phone options. And I really didn't need 48. I really only needed one. And now, as a result of Drive to Excellence, we have just one. And we've gotten tremendous price reductions from our vendors because we've narrowed down the selection. So an important part of Drive to Excellence is, indeed, narrowing the selection,
What kind do you use?
Well, Madam Chair, I hate to say this, but I actually don't have a state cell phone.
Oh. Well, what kind does the state use?
Brenda, you want to answer that? Brenda, identify yourself.
I'm just curious.
Hi, my name is Brenda Willard, and I am Welcome. The Assistant Director at Materials Management. And we have a contract. It's actually a single vendor for the metro area, and that's with Sprint.
The single vendor also exists for the northern part of the state as well as the southern part of the state.
Okay.
So we've set standards. We emphasize negotiations. Now, it may seem strange to some that we weren't really actively negotiating contracts before this, but there was a perception in state government that if you had a competitive procurement, the low bid wins or the low proposer wins, and that is your contract price. And we have found that if you simply sit down with that vendor and look at the terms and conditions or simply ask the vendor to sharpen their prices, their pencils, you'd be surprised how much money you can still take off the table and reduce. We've saved so far $24 million just through the application of negotiations. Then an emphasis on price. Now, you all know about best value procurement, and best value, in fact, includes price as one of the components of best value. But some agencies were including price as only about a 5% factor. And so we've instituted a policy that said price must, at a minimum, be 30% of the evaluation. And in most cases, we would expect it to be at least 40% of the evaluation. So by changing the emphasis on price, again, we've experienced reductions in contracts. We also are doing spend analysis. We received a national award for a system that we implemented. You've heard about MAPS. We have this very antiquated, cumbersome process or system by which we can track or not track what we're spending. We instituted, it's a data mining system that actually takes the information from MAPS and makes it intelligible. So for really the first time, it sorts it by commodity, it sorts it by who's buying what, and now for the first time, we really know what people are buying. We know where agencies are, in fact, buying the standard commodity and where they're doing renegade spending, as we call it, and we're able to track that and monitor it and manage it. So the spend analysis system now has been in place for a couple of years. This is where we are basically projecting our five-year spending of savings of $210 million, and I'll show you how that's divided here in just a moment. You can see some of the savings, personal computers. We received up to a 44% discount over what we were previously paying by simply setting a standard. I only have a choice now of one desktop. If I'm a low-end user, if I'm at transportation and I need a higher technology computer, I have a second choice. But that saved us $95 million across the state. Cell phones, $8.6 million, and we also implemented a new policy around cell phones, which actually has also reduced usage. Cell phones are not allowed to be used for personal calls. That is the state policy. We appreciate that people sometimes have to make emergency calls on their state phones, and that's allowed. But this eliminated, if where the policy is being implemented, it eliminated the tracking and separation of bills as to personal calls versus state calls.
And yet, you know, the OLA has found in its financial management internal controls reports abuse of that policy, and we will indeed be holding people responsible for it when they come before our budget committees.
Madam Chair, I'm aware
of
that.
And we'll want to know that the practice has changed,
yes.
And with that is allows a lack of accountability for cell phone use.
Madam Chair, I'm very well aware of that, and I guess I would have to say the policy is being honored in its breach. multifunction devices, MFDs, are actually copiers. They're those big machines that do copying and collating and faxing and so forth. And we most recently just announced a new contract for these devices showing a 68%, astounding, 68% savings over what we were previously paying. Scanning and imaging systems, you can see other things, fleet card, business software, office furniture, a whole long list of commodities now that we have under state contract where the prices we are paying are the best in the nation. You can see that we use a fish on the next page to demonstrate our savings. It's just kind of like one of those United Way bar charts. We use a fish because we compare ourselves with other states, and it happens that the state of Arizona uses a cactus. So in some reports, we show Arizona with a cactus, and we show Pennsylvania with a thermometer, but we decided to use a fish. And this is the breakdown of our $210 million. But most importantly, I think on the next chart, which I hope is a little easier to read in your package than mine, oftentimes the question is asked, you know, where are the savings? Show us the money. Where is this $210 million? And first of all, I'll say that it's being realized over 5 years because these contracts have a five-year life. But I think it's worth noting that K through 12 is experiencing a large percentage of those savings. They are a huge user of our technology contracts. In fact, they are 87% of our Apple contract, Apple computer contract.
Madam Chair.
Senator Roebling.
Thank you. Commissioner Badgerow, how many districts does this include? Because I'm really interested in light of the proposal that came out last week, and you had just presented to the State Government Finance Committee and said that you had even waived the fee to allow local units of government to join this purchasing pool, and then they came out with a plan for all of the school districts in the state to kind of come under a contracted vendor service, and I was sitting there thinking, wait, we already have this. But I don't know how many are involved in it right now.
Madam Chair and Senator Roebling, it's 309 school districts are currently participating under the technology contracts. We have much better data about the technology contracts because OET is our partner in this, and they maintain the good spend data on the technology purchase. So we don't have real good data on some of our other commodities. But 309 school districts, as it shows here, they purchased $16 million. I have a chart that shows that just in the first quarter of this year, they purchased $16 million worth of computers and related equipment. And you'll notice that others are benefiting.
Is that sufficient, or did you have a follow-up?
That was more than I expected, Senator Rest. I didn't know that many had gotten involved already. So we really are seeing most districts, because the proposal that was mentioned would mandate that they join a vendor pool, so to speak.
Right.
And already, without any mandate, and maybe without even some districts knowing a lot about this, we've already gotten 309 school districts to sign on because they know a good deal when they see it.
Yeah, that might be a mandate that is one that is embraced, as a matter of fact, because it will mean that the other school districts get more information about what's possible rather than the other way around. Senator Marty?
Madam Chair, Commissioner, with the public schools, with all the personal computer purchases, when you were talking about cell phone options, you said there's basically one option. I presume with between the needs of state agencies and the university and public education, are there dozens of different computers, desktops, and laptops available? Is it limited number of vendors? I mean,